Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for participating. Welcome to Auren Energia's 2021 earnings conference call. We would like to inform that this event is being recorded. Following the company's presentation, we will have a Q&A session for analysts and investors. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please press star zero to talk to the operator. The link to access the webcast with audio and slides is available on Auren's investor relations website at www.ri.aurenenergia.com.br. The presentation is also available for download from the website. All the information are in reais according to Brazilian corporate law and accounting practices adopted in Brazil, BR GAAP, already in compliance with International Financial Reporting Standards, IFRS, unless otherwise indicated. Before proceeding, we would like to clarify that comments and statements made during this conference call regarding Auren's business prospects, as well as operating and financial targets, are projections and expectations in the view of the company's management based on information currently available and do not meet, under any circumstances, guarantees or promises or performance. It is important to underscore that such projections involve risks, uncertainties, since they refer to future events and therefore depend on uncertain circumstances which may or may not occur. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors may affect the company's future performance and may lead to results that differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. It is also important to emphasize that the results released to the market on Monday are related to CESP Energy Company of São Paulo and VTRM Energia Participações in the pre-reorganization corporate structure according to the applicable legislation. Thus, there are no Auren's published and audited results on a consolidated basis. The pro forma consolidated financial indicators presented here are unaudited and do not reflect the results published by the CVM. The presentation will be carried out by Mr. Fabio Zanfelice, CEO, and Mario Bertoncini, CFO and Investor Relations Officer. I would like to hand it over now to Mr. Fabio Zanfelice, who will start the presentation.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am pleased to have you with us today in Auren's earnings result, as I mentioned. In reality, as of yesterday, we received the Auren result in a consolidated fashion, and this is something that we will present. We will present CESP's result, that is the result of both companies, and therefore, we will initiate our presentation. Now let's go to slide number one. Here, we will start with corporate reorganization and how it took place throughout time. On October 18th last year, the controlling shareholders of CESP and VTRM presented an asset consolidation proposal to the market. Immediately, this proposal was submitted to CESP that initiated the analysis and started to see the merit of the proposals and the assessments to exchange shares in a subsequent incorporation. Well, an independent agency was installed, the committees submitted to the company's board the proposal in order to exchange shares that was approved in January 10th of 2022, once approved. There was a request from the shareholders' assembly side to approve the proposal that took place on February 15th of 2022. Once this was approved by the shareholders, we had the end of the withdrawal period that concluded on March 18th without any addition. And once this withdrawal period was over on March 23rd this year, the board of directors ratified the approval in the incorporation of shares by the BTRM. And yesterday, we were fortunate to see Orin embarking in the market, in the new market of B3. And now we continue with this new company in a consolidated fashion. I would just like to underscore that we have had a very interesting process and an example of corporate governance and how it was carried out by the board, by the controlling company, and they worked with transparency. And it is exemplary how this was conducted until its conclusion yesterday, that this is when Orin started operating in B3. Speaking of Orin, for some time, we have highlighted which are the attributes of this platform. We're on slide number 7 now. And the attributes of the platform that today is one of the biggest renewable energy platforms to be traded in Brazil. And here we have 5 points that are important. Number 1, the quality of our assets. We have a diversified portfolio with the concession duration and authorization. The second attribute is very interesting, is the trading based in scale. This is the center of market intelligence and focused in developed products, solutions, and services to our customer. The ensemble of these two attributes result in a third attribute, that is the competitive advantage, strong generation capacity, and a trader prepared and investments in order to compete in the free market. The market has the expectation of being a more diverse market, more competitive, and that presents major opportunities for the companies that are properly positioned to face these challenges. The fourth attribute that is very important, Orin emerges with a management team with a lot of experience in building assets. They have experience in the acquisition of assets, people committed with high ESG standards, and we're going to maintain what Mario had built in a CESPED, that is a high level of transparency with the market and a genuine connection with the market when it comes to announce our results. And we present the strategy of the company from here on. And finally, our focus on growth. This is a company that emerges with a financial capacity that is very interesting to acquire companies in the market to continue growing organically in greenfield project. So we are focused on discipline when it comes to acquisition and the assessment of assets that the company will acquire as of now. On the following slide, you can see the history and how this installed capacity of Orin was built. This is a portfolio of 3.3 gigawatts of installed capacity. It emerges The matrix is composed by 71% hydro and 29% wind. These assets are distributed. It has an important geographic distribution. Here it is installed in areas of high hydro basins and with a radius of 30 kilometers between these centers, which provides us good competitiveness in O&M costs and complementarity. The company started in 2017 when Votorantim Energia installed its first wind park in Piauí. Then we created a partnership with CPP. We built BTRM, and as of that, we acquire Ventos do Araripe III's complex during 2017. We incorporated Votorantim Energia in the high production assets of Votorantim in 2019. We were fortunate to participate in the CESP divestment program. And now in 2022, with Ventos do Piauí II and III, we're complementing, and we have 3.3 gigawatts of installed capacity. This is 174% higher in terms of CAGR. On the next slide, you can see the portfolio and the pipelines of greenfield projects developed by the company. This is a pipeline of practically 2 gigawatts of installed capacity, mainly made up by solar and photovoltaic projects. These projects, they are in different phases. I would like to highlight Sol do Piauí and Jaíba 5. Sol do Piauí is the first hybrid project in Brazil. This is a pilot project that was granted by ANEEL last year. We're developing this project that has this is already a concession. Jaíba is a project that we bought at the end of next year, 16 gigawatts of installed capacity, and we have guaranteed concession. So these are two projects. We have Helios project. This is a project developed in the same region. We have wind complexes in Pernambuco. This project is being developed in three phases, each one in different stages of development. Stage number one, 357 megawatts, and we believe that today, with the hybrid model, we practically can install the first phase fully in terms of capacity. And due to the wind complexes installed in the Northeast, the other phases are in the initial stage of development, but we have requested a concession beforehand. According to the date established by the law regarding incentivized energy. So the way we see the regulation of the sector, all of them have the right to be considered as incentivized source assets. Now we have project also Corumbá of PCH. A number of areas of Corumbá. This is 160 megawatt of installed capacity. So when we add up these assets, you can see here, these are highly competitive projects that we will develop in the upcoming years. Our targets in terms of M&A, in addition to the greenfield projects that are being developed, we continue focusing on renewable assets and other types of assets that will make sense in our portfolio, including asset-light opportunities that are companies that could add value to our trading activity, especially when it comes to developing services and solutions. Our criteria for this growth always seeing the suitability and the complementarity to the expansion strategy, always following strict financial discipline, a careful risk and return analysis, especially focused on long-term value creation. Now, on our next slide, slide number 10, you see our corporate governance. Yesterday, Auren embarked in the B3 Novo Mercado. This is a company with the shareholders aligned with its targets. It is a company that is aligned to the best management, aligned with long-term goals. Today, here we have Votorantim has 37.7% of the total capital, CPP Investments 32.06%, and Freehold has 30.20% of the total capital of Auren. Now, the board of directors has 7 members that were elected on March 23rd, last week. 2 are independent members, and we have 2 advisory boards. I'm correcting here, it says 3, but actually it's 2 advisory boards, and this will be discussed during the board meetings. But we start with a statutory audit committee and the ethics commission. Now I will give the floor to Mario Bertoncini, our CFO of New Businesses, that will present the results of 2021. Mario?
Thank you, Fabio. Now, on page 12, you can see the highlights of 2021 from the results point of view. The first thing that I would like to mention would be the hydro crisis that we underwent last year. It strongly impacted the GSF of all the hydroelectric sector in Brazil. When we make a comparison, the average GSF in 2021, the past year, had been 81%, and this GSF dropped to 73% in average last year, 2021. This is a drop of 8 percentage points in comparison to last year, very relevant in terms of impact and the burden on the electric sector, and in our case, the impact on CESP. It is worthwhile to mention that since October last year, with the beginning of the recovery of inflows, we improved the affluence and a significant recovery of the CINS reservoir levels and reaching something close to 69% different from the same period of the past year. Now, regarding our commercial strategy, an important point to highlight is that now in 2022, we changed the energy balance deficit. It was equalized. So throughout the 4 years, from 2019 to 2022, and now we close the structure energy deficit from safety. We can close this in 4 years in a successful fashion. It is important to talk about our commercial strategy, that we continue making progress in sales contracts from Auren, especially between 2024 and 2026. That is an important 3-year period. Now, financial performance, and as Fabio highlighted in the beginning, the figures that we are presenting here, they are not reflected neither in the financial statement of BTRM, neither Votorantim Energia, neither CESP. Here in this presentation, we're showing you a pro forma figure that is the sum up of the part as if Auren would existed last year. This is an Auren pro forma for 2022, and our adjusted EBITDA for 2021 ended in 1 billion BRLs, a strong cash position.
As the company, as anticipated in the shareholders' reincorporation, received 1.5 billion reais from the controlling company, CPTID. We are careful to consider this cash flow in our leveraging so that analysts and investors have a realistic view of this. This way, our cash position is 1.9 billion, and also it was 1.9 billion, a leverage of 1.5x pro forma. We also made progress during Q4 of 2021 and 2021 as a whole. This would be a reduction of 1.8 billion in total contingent liabilities, with emphasis on two actions. One that was reported to the market, that was a settlement with the Panorama City Porters on Q3, and now the fisherman class action that took place on Q4 of 2021. End-to-end, all our mitigation plan adhesion period concluded for Vivesto. Last week, we concluded the adhesion period of a migration period, and we had 20% of migrated beneficiaries, equivalent to 18% of total mathematical reserve, totaling a defined contribution. Now, this represents 1.4 billion reais with a disbursement of 351 million reais. This is expected at the moment of migration in order to settle the deficit of the migration part. This is a cash disbursement as this is concluded of 351 million reais. Other fronts, well, we continue with other fronts together with Vivesto, especially the most relevant after the migration would be the attempt to change the negotiation with the indexer. The obligations of CESP is in IGPM, and we are in middle of a negotiation that hasn't been concluded with a possible change in the index that will use IPCA or an indexer that can be pegged to some type of hedging. Now on page 13, we have details here of the evolution of the contingent liabilities, and what is important is CESP. It is important to mention that BTRM and Votorantim Energia do not have a contingent liability that is relevant. What is important is the legacy of CESP to the new company. With this, we ended December of 2020 with a total contingent liability of 8.4 billion reais. Here, the upper chart on the left shows the evolution after privatization. In the privatization, we assumed an annual contingent liability of 11.6 billion. If we wouldn't have made an effort to reduce, and if we would only apply the correction of the courts of December 2021, this would be 16.1 billion reais. What we did in practice in real terms was to bring the 61.1 billion reais, and now they represent 8.4 billion reais of contingent liability, and 1.3 billion are provision. This is the approved loss. It's 100% provision. In the lower chart, you can see the evolution of the quarter as we always follow. During the quarter, during Q4 of 2021, there was a drop, a gross drop of monetary correction of 1.1 billion, mainly driven by the beginning of a negotiation with fishermen. This is not a negotiation of pescadores. the two civil lawsuits, but this is another part that is an important miscellaneous that adds up to 1.1 billion reais, and 1 billion or close to 1 billion has already been resolved through negotiation during Q4 of 2021. Here we applied a fraction of the values that were claimed as also from Olheiros de Panorama. Now, here in the pie chart, what we can see here, there were no major changes. This is a breakout that is not what is important to mention is the evolution on Q4 and during the past 3 years. During the past 3 years, in real terms, when we compare 16 billion to 8 billion, we reduced the total contingent liability by 7.4 billion reais. And being 1.6 of probable, considering monetary and interesting adjustment. So here we spent 8% of the value of the total contingent liability in a 3 year period. The metric isn't different on Q4. During the Q4, we reduced 1.1 billion that you can see on the lower chart, and we disbursed 72 million reais from our cash. Once again, 7% of the total contingent liability. Perhaps before proceeding, it's important to mention that during the last quarter, there was no relevant evolution in the contingent liability of Três Irmãos. As soon as we have relevant information, we will announce this to the market, but we still have not seen any progress regarding Três Irmãos. On page 14, here you can see what the evolution of our project underway, that is Ventos do Piauí 2 and 3. This here we are building the last part of 1 gigawatt of wind capacity in the Northeast. It adds the 409 megawatts and the beginning of its mobilization was in March of 2021. The beginning of the assembly of wind turbines started in February of 2021. And now we start of commissioning during April. So now on April, we start commissioning the first wind turbines that are completed. And on November this year, now due to pressure of costs and investments and prices and the inflation of the infrastructure in the world and in Brazil, this is a project that is strictly meeting its timeline and its budget. It's on budget. It's on time and on budget, which is a challenge for today's moment, but we are according to schedule. Now, our funding comes from the BNDES. This is a total financing of 1.6 billion reais. And in a unique term, even for the BNDES portfolio, it's 23 years, IPCA plus 4.56%. This accounts for 73% of total investments of 2.2 billion. Now, 2/3 of the energy is contracted until 2032. Now, on page 15, you can see the consolidated results. Pro forma, this is a sum up of parts of Auren as if Auren would have existed in 2021. Based on this, what we can see in the upper bar chart is the comparison of the adjustment EBITDA of 2020 vis-a-vis 2021. Here we have conciliated the EBITDA that is reflected in the financial statements together with the adjustment EBITDA for 2020 and 2021. In 2020, Auren is pro forma would have had an EBITDA of 1.2 billion and we closed the year with a pro forma adjusted EBITDA for 2021 of 1,013,000,000. So basically, this delta, the drop in EBITDA, is due to the hydro crisis of last year in terms of comparison. CESP's EBITDA standalone during the comparison period of 2021 dropped 170 million reais, which accounts for the great amount for the drop of this result. So with the affluence recovered and the levels of reservoirs recovering, we are overcoming the impact of GSF of last year and normalizing our results in terms of GSF and affluence. Now, what you can see on the bottom chart of page 15 is the reconciliation of free cash flow. We start with Auren with an adjusted EBITDA pro forma of 1,013,000,000 to an important effect of working capital of 2021, and ending an operating cash flow of 1,282,000,000. Therefore, this is a cash conversion ratio of 127%. Now, the impact of working capital has to do with accounting accounts that burned in the results of 2021, but don't represent a cash exit of 2021, but yes, commitments in the upcoming years. Now, the operating cash flow here, basically, we have funding and amortization and CAP and consolidated CapEx. Here, we're adding the CapEx of VDP two and three that disbursed 600 million and the CapEx of the other operations, including CESP. Now, the exit of dividends from this Auren geography of 540 million reais during the year. Obviously, it's CESP throughout this year disbursed more than this, so part of this cash is maintained within Auren's geography, complemented by a debt and the payment of contingency. So we have a free cash flow of 420 million reais, and added to the contribution of CPPIB in February, well, now we have free cash flow of 1.9 billion. Perhaps an important that is worthwhile to highlight regarding the light bill, that due to the hydro crisis, here we have some information in CESP. The impact was in volume. We had to buy 70 megawatt average in addition in 2021, then in 2020 at an average price of 240 reais throughout 2021, compared to 204 reais in the past year, with an IGSF of 73% of our 8 percentage points inverted than the 81% of GSF. This is important for you to have these details. And here you can see how the hydro crisis impacted CESP. On page 16, here we have our capital structure. We ended Auren pro forma's indebtedness with a net debt of 1,479,000,000 BRL in net debt. Now, with the effect with the pro forma capitalization of CPTB and a leverage of 1.5 times net debt EBITDA, now this is practically half-half, 45% would be BNDES lines, and the other 55% are debentures of infrastructure. The average term of the debt is 7 years, and we have the amortization schedule here, and there is no cash pressure in the short run for CESP, neither for Auren. Therefore, this is a debt that is spaced throughout time. And here we have rating information regarding international ratings. And now they are renewing the rating for the new company. And we are ending the CESP chapter now. We're starting Auren's history. I would like to reiterate to the market how grateful I am for their trust. So now I would like to give the floor to Fabio. Thank you, Mario, as always. Straight to the point in his results, that is the standard that we will maintain in Auren. Now, in a nutshell, we had the challenge of the hydro crisis in 2021. There were important moments regarding the contingent liabilities. Now, for our final remarks, I would like to mention our view for our new company. The new company, this is a company that brings together the history and legacy that is responsibility, and we are focused on safe operation with top priority on the health and safety of our employees and operational excellency. Trading our customers, our focus and a reason of being. We are geared toward innovating and looking for the best solutions to meet the expectations of our customers. In responsibility, well, we appreciate the communities where we are present and our business partners, and we will continue working to positively impact these communities and everybody that surrounds us in terms of our projects, and we want to add value. In terms of growth, as I said, we are prepared to grow, and we will pursue growth in a responsible fashion aligned with the shareholders' expectations. Now, regarding the return of these investments, we want investments that comply with the company's current portfolio, and we always want to add value to our business. I thank all of you for your participation in this conference call, and we are at your disposal to answer your questions. Now we will initiate our Q&A session. To pose questions, please press star one. And our first question from Andrés Sampaio from Santander.
Good morning to everyone. I have two questions. One is regarding Três Irmãos. You said that it has evolved, and I would like to know what the negotiations together with the government are regarding this agreement. And now, second question regarding contingent liability. You mentioned 7-8% was spent to drop this contingent liability. Do you believe that that the fact that it will drop will be more difficult? And the more that you believe that that we will not drop this more. What we see is that the value that is provisioned is the effective cash disbursements to generate this liability. I don't know if this is realistic for you.
Hello, André. Thank you for your question. This is Mario speaking. Now, regarding Três Irmãos, we never hid that a potential negotiation of Três Irmãos could be a possible exit. There are no negotiations underway right now, and if they were, I wouldn't be able to disclose this. But if
there is anything solid, be it in the legal sphere or an administrative sphere, we will announce it to the market. Now, regarding the contingent liability, what has been provisioned, that is $1.3 billion, as a matter of fact, is one of the ways, access to what we will disburse the upcoming years in order to equalize the contingent liability. Today, it represents 15% of our total contingent, $1.3 billion and $8.4 billion. And we believe that this is a good calculation of what we will expend throughout the upcoming years.
Perfect. And thank you for your questions.
Our next question from Pedro Manfredini, Goldman Sachs.
Good morning. My question, CESP has had to prepare itself because of the GSF. What has changed? And how is the company preparing itself to go into the market?
Pedro, your question was very choppy. We didn't understand your question. If I am right, your question is connected to portfolio diversification and commercialization and portfolio diversification, or in when it has hydroelectrical assets and wind assets. There is a seasonal aspect here that will reduce the risk of the portfolio as a whole because wind generation is natural and there's variability during droughts, that is between April and October. We are going to measure this and we are going to analyze this throughout time. And now commercialization or trading, you know that there are discussions underway about the modernization of the electric sector. This started with CP33 in 2007, and in the lower house, we have PL404 that is being discussed to carry out the necessary changes to adapt the electric regulatory framework to the reality that was transformed through technology and the maturity of the free Brazilian market. Now for us, in Auren, we have focused on the following. We believe that regardless if this agenda makes progress, there is a consensus in the sector regarding the changes that have to be made. We need a trader that is prepared to perform in this market under any circumstances. This is why we have invested strongly, and we believe that once the market expands, new consumers of small sizes will join this market. The way of servicing these consumers with new products and new solutions for these consumers are different from the solutions that we see in the market, both in service and the level of risks that the agents will have to take on in order to service these customers. Here we need flexibility and new products will be added. So they will be better positioned. Who is going to be better positioned and more competitive? Well, these are the companies that have a portfolio and have invested digitally to have capillarity and to offer these products in an agile fashion, in a direct way. And number two, within their portfolio, they must have flexibility. That is something natural to offer to these customers. When in the free market, we have worked in order to organize the Auren portfolio. And what is important is long-term experience from the trading team of Votorantim Energia and CESP, that now is the Auren trader that provides us the reassurance, and we know that we are prepared to face this challenging
moments that the Brazilian energy market will have to face. Thank you very much. Our next question from Marcelo Sá, Itaú. Thank you for your call. I have a number of questions. Number one would be Três Irmãos. I know that the agreement is advanced and you can't say a lot to the market. Mike, what value will you receive in the short term? And two, the development of the pipeline, and due to the Equatorial said, due to the CapEx that pressured them in terms of equipment. And I would like to understand what are your expectations regarding the development of pipeline, taking into account CapEx, wind energy, and now the Brazilian currency has appreciated slightly. I would like to know how you see this moment, if you could elaborate on all of these points. Marcelo, thank you for your questions. This is Mario speaking about Três Irmãos. Regarding Três Irmãos, as soon as I have a solid information regarding our negotiation, as soon as we have information, we will inform the market. Our focus is our process. We want this to be judged. We still do not have any news, but as soon as we have news, we are committed to inform the market. Now I will give the floor to Fabio. Marcelo, thank you for your question. Your statement is correct. The solar PEC increased because of the pandemic and arrangements in China's supply chain. We have followed up the cost of solar panels, and we are going to develop a hybrid project. Now, regarding the peak that took place in September last year, we can see a drop of the cost of solar panels, but it has not reached the price levels before the pandemic. The hybrid project is a smaller project. It's a project that has contracted financing, not mandatory, but it's important. And Yaíba, that is the biggest project. We believe that it will become operational in 2024. So we still have time to observe the equipment prices. We are pressured by the need of doing this in a short period of time. And we see a movement in terms of price drops. And we hope that this materializes, and I hope that we do not receive new shocks in the upcoming months. And a question regarding prices and strategy. There were strong rainfalls. How do you see the energy prices from here on? And to understand the commercialization strategy of energy commercialization, what will you have? Short-term, mid-term, long-term contracts? Because here we see a strong entry of renewable capacity in the market. I don't know if this will exert pressure over the price. Marcelo, regarding the prices, we can divide this in two periods. the long-term price will always follow. The most competitive technology is the LSOE. The trends tends to be solar energy. Prices will be between 150, 160 reais. That is what the market practices. These prices may increase if the CapEx cost doesn't drop, but this is the figure that we're focused on and what we have in mind in terms of long term. Now, short term is pure marginal cost, is what we have in our installed system. Here, our variables are fixed. So what we have observed is that this year we are totaling 70% of storage. So perhaps the next year we don't expect a sharp drop in the market price because the government has said that they will review the model of risk of prices. And here we would have greater thermal dispatch to prevent what happened last year. That was a lot of pressure over the reservoirs. Now, next year, perhaps they will change the methodology. Now, regarding new capacity, what I see here today, we have an excess of offering. And last year, we did have this excess of offering, and hydrology wasn't favorable, and therefore the prices were higher. What we are going to see from here on is that the storage of the SIN will not increase. So more and more, the ratio cargo load storage will be lower, and storage will account for a lower portion regarding the Brazilian consumption because consumption increases. And with renewables, renewable energy, the reservoirs have an important role in the regulation and the control of energy production in Brazil. And the intermittency will cause more volatility in this market in the upcoming years. We will perhaps have low periods, and we will also have high periods where I believe that the most qualified players to operate in the system with active traders will better leverage the scenario. Now, when we see energy contracting, you know that in economic theory, it's always good to distribute your portfolio in a balanced fashion. You contract long run, short run. Now, the way things are structured, the way things are priced in the long term, especially regarding renewable energies, the benefit of the spread is not being remunerated in the long term as we see in short-term contracts. In short-term contracts, that would be 2, 3 years. These are contracts with smaller customers. They are done. Long-term contracts are with big customers where there is lower discount. There is an asymmetry between these two ways of holding contracts. As we have a strong trader, we want to see the best way of allocating this energy, maximizing our contracts in the short term to maximize the return of these negotiations. Of course, we can always have long-term contracts like we had in Ventos do Piauí 2 and 3. 40% of the energy of these complex were commercialized in the long term. So Votorantim and the rest of the energy will be sold by the trader. Here we are properly positioned to explore all of the opportunities that exist in the market.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
And our next question from webcast, from our webcast, Everton Rebelo Silva. Good morning.
What is Puerto Primavera operating projection regarding the water levels of Rio Parapanã in 2022?
Everton, last year in 2021, perhaps this is why you asked the question, we underwent outflow restrictions because of the SI, and this was we had to reduce the outflow due to a request from the Ministry of Mines and Energy. Now, since October, Everton of last year, the affluence has normalized, and this normalization of the Puerto Primavera outflow, in now our outflow is above the historic average, around 5,000 cubic meters per second, and this and the historic average was 3,900 cubic meters per second. Now we have a direct contact with all the authorities, the ministry. There is still no forecast regarding outflow restrictions this year. If there is a need for restrictions, if SIN and the ministry believes that we have to do this, we will implement this because we are forced to do this. The outflow continues normal with normal hydro dispatch. And now we bring the Q&A session to an end. I would like to give the floor to Mr. Fabio for his final remarks. Thank you very much for participating in our earnings results call. As I said, this is a different call. We are adding both parts. Thank you very much for your timely questions. As of now, we have a consolidated companies with a promising future. We are very happy with this new company, and we are very happy because of the process. Very few professionals have the opportunity to undertake or to go through an incorporation process. The shareholders were open for the consolidation, and thank you very much for your trust. So we are committed to meet your expectations here. In a couple of months, we will come back with the earnings results of Q1, and we will provide you more details about this new company and whatnot, because as of yesterday, our company was born, and this is just a newborn company. And during our next earnings call, we will provide you more details. Thank you very much, and thank you for your participation. Auren's conference call has come to an end. I thank you for your participation and have a very good day.